For the June 1st podcast, I've asked Dr. Tim Berry to share with us what's on his heart regarding this year's theme, and I'll say just a bit more about that in just a moment. Just wanted to remind you all, if you are planning or hoping to go to the family conference at the end of August at the Wilds, please do register within the next couple of days. If you're not sure but still hopeful or exploring things, it would be fine to go ahead and register and just let Sarah Hartwig in the office know that your registration is tentative. But if you could register in the next couple of days, if you're planning or hopeful about coming to the conference this year, that would be really helpful here in the office as we make plans. Well, as we examine this year, this theme of staying faithful to Christ and being faithful to Him until the end, and pursuing Christ-likeness, pursuing godly character, maintaining the kinds of qualifications, maintaining the character that is required of those in ministry, I have asked Dr. Tim Berry to share with us on the podcast today what the Lord has done in his life and heart about this theme. So he is going to share with us now some from the Old Testament. Might not be hard for you to believe if you've been around Dr. Berry very much, but he will be sharing some words with us on finishing well.
As I thought about the subject of finishing well, I wanted to share something that the Lord gave me in my personal time with him a few weeks ago. It's going to be from 2 Chronicles 26 in the life of King Uzziah. King Uzziah is one of three kings of Judah right in a row who did not finish well. They all started well, at least to some extent, but all three did not finish well: Joash, Amaziah, and King Uzziah. And you would remember, of course, that Uzziah, he's the king that went into the temple to offer incense like only a priest could, and was smitten with leprosy as a result. But as I was reading this again a few weeks ago, my personal devotions, I was struck with a question that came into my mind. And the question is something like this, and we'll see as we work through it how this fleshes out in the actual text. But the question was this: why would God help a man to succeed when that very help will help that man ultimately to fail? And that was a question that came into my mind as I was reading here in 2 Chronicles 26. And just to review a little bit here of the actual text as we go through it here. So King Uzziah comes to the throne. He's 16 years of age. He reigns for 52 years. Part of that might have overlapped with his father, even with his son. It says in verse 4, he did what was right in the sight of Yahweh, the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah. We don't know this man, but evidently he exerted a kind of a positive influence on King Uzziah. And it goes on to say at the end of verse 5, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him succeed. And I want to give that the emphasis that it deserves. God made him succeed. There is a causative aspect to this verb here. God made him succeed. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him succeed. Well, then verse 6 goes on, verses 6 through 15 goes on to describe the kind of success or help that the Lord gave this man, King Uzziah. He conquered a number of different of the enemies of his kingdom. The Philistines are mentioned in verse 6. The Arabians are mentioned in verse 7. The Maonites as well. The Ammonites in verse 8. Verse 9 mentions the way he fortified Jerusalem. He's involved in agriculture. He had livestock. Verse 10, end of the verse, literally, he loved the ground, is literally what that says there in verse 10. He had a large standing army of 307,500 men. That doesn't include the leaders of those, maybe about 2,600 mighty men of valor. He gave them the military equipment that they needed. Verse 14, he also devised some kind of engines. He was a military innovator and had these engines that would shoot arrows and throw great stones. And then verse 15 again brings up this idea of the Lord's help to this man. Verse 15, the last part of the verse, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. And that's in the passive voice. He was marvelously helped. And the obvious implication that we are to infer is that he was helped by God. God marvelously, wondrously helped this man. And these verses have just recorded the various ways in which God helped him. Verse 16 is a transition. But when he became strong, his heart was proud so that he acted corruptly. And this is where, as the story goes on in our chapter, where he enters the temple, he wants to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah the priest enters, 80 other priests with him. They stand against Uzziah. They tell him it is not for him, a king, not a priest, he's a king. It's not for a king to burn incense to the Lord. It's only for the priests, the sons of Aaron. They tell him to get out of the sanctuary. Uzziah responds with anger, and as he is enraged with the priest, the leprosy breaks out on his forehead right before them. And verse 20, Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him. Behold, he was leprous on his forehead, and they hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out because Yahweh, or the Lord, had smitten him. And here again, the Lord is the direct subject of what happens. The Lord smites him. So as I read this story in my personal time with the Lord, it stood out to me, this idea of how God had made him succeed, and he was marvelously helped, and then he's helped to the point he's strong, and then when he's strong, he ends up being unfaithful to the Lord. In his pride, he tries to offer incense, and the Lord then smites him with leprosy. And again, the question that came into my mind was something like this. So why would God help a man to succeed when that very help will help that man ultimately fail? Will God help a man to his downfall? If God knows that through his help, in other words, that Uzziah will succeed, and then because of that very success, he will fall into sinful pride, why does God help him in the first place? Would it not have been better for Uzziah if God had left him alone, let him muddle through his reign, never experience any glory or any success, and never have a heart lifted up with pride? Wouldn't that have been better? Again, will God help a man to his downfall? And as I meditated on this and took this question to the Lord, I felt like there were two responses. First of all, God is good. God is good even to those who will sin against him, even to those who use the gifts that they receive from him in order to sin. I was just recently reading the prayer in Nehemiah 9, where the sins of Israel are being brought up in this prayer, and it mentions the golden calf. And you think of this example of God's goodness, God's lavish forgiveness. He's gracious, he's compassionate, he's slow to anger. And you think of this calf that they made. I mean, God delivers them from the bondage in Egypt. They make a calf out of their own jewelry. They look at that calf and they say, "This is your God who brought you up from Egypt." That is blasphemy. And yet God is good enough to have delivered them from Egypt, even though he knew that they would do that. And he's good enough to continue helping them even afterward. Even after this, the pillar of cloud is with them by day and the pillar of fire by night. That is goodness. God is good even to those whom he knows will abuse his kindness. And we can learn a lot as leaders and fathers and husbands from God's amazing goodness. But there's a second response I want to give to this question of will God help a man to his downfall? And that is this, that God is not in the business of cushioning his followers from looking unspiritual. He is in the business of restoring his image in them, what we would say in New Testament terminology, conformity to his Son. God is at work to restore his image in us. And evidently for this man Uzziah, there was an idol lurking in his heart. And for some of his reign, for much of his reign, there was external conformity to what God wanted, maybe even internal conformity, a genuine desire to seek after the Lord. I mean, the God himself says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. So there was good that this king was doing. But God knows that in Uzziah's heart, there is an idol that is lurking. It's an idol that only success will reveal. And in this God-given success that comes to Uzziah, God is also blessing Uzziah by exposing his proud heart, a pride that maybe he even did not know was there. God was giving Uzziah the painful but helpful opportunity of seeing his heart's idol and repenting. Uzziah's pride manifested itself in discontentment with all the grandeur God had given him. He wanted more, the more that was only given to the priests. And this proud, discontented heart would probably never have been exposed, even to Uzziah, if God had not granted him success. It took that very success to show Uzziah that in his heart he had shifted from seeking God, which he was doing in verse 5, to seeking unbounded success, even to a level forbidden him by God. And I think from this there's a valuable application for us, that God is using our circumstances in order to build us, not just for us to build a work for him. Yes, God used Uzziah to defeat his kingdom's enemies. God used Uzziah to fortify the city of Jerusalem and to build up the nation. But God was also interested in building Uzziah. He wanted Uzziah to see his own heart and to see the pride that was there so that Uzziah would repent. This would be a blessing from God. And even though sometimes it is painful, I think you would recognize along with me these times in our lives when God will use people, God will use circumstances, God will use crises. And in those very times, it's like the window shade will be thrown up and the light will expose our heart and we will see something there that we hadn't really seen before, some idol of our heart, some sinful tendency. And it's in those moments that are hurtful and they're not pleasant, yet at the same time, it's a good God that is exposing our sin, and it is a wonderful opportunity for us to repent and make us more like him, more like our Lord Jesus Christ. And God knows whether success or seeming lack of success will best expose our idols and build us. I have a friend in ministry. He's been at the same church for over 2 decades, and his church is quite small. If you were to visit it on a Sunday, you would feel like there really isn't much happening here. And yet when I talk to my friend after over 2 decades of ministry there, he will say something like this. He'll say, yes, you know, the Lord hasn't built the church here quite the way that I wanted him to. But then he'll say this, but the Lord made me. And he's recognizing that during those decades there, the Lord has used what's been happening in the ministry there to actually sift him. His heart and his motives have been sifted by little ministerial fruit, at least in man's eyes, and through it, God has made him. And this is how God works. And we see other examples of this also in Scripture, where God will use circumstances in order to expose what is in the hearts of his people. And he does this because, again, he's in the business of making us like himself. I think of godly Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 32:31 says that God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. Again, Hezekiah is a godly king. In fact, Scripture is clear. No other king trusted God like Hezekiah. And yet there was pride in Hezekiah's heart after God's incredible deliverance of Hezekiah, both from Sennacherib and from sickness. And God uses a circumstance, Babylonian messengers, and he uses that to expose what is in Hezekiah's heart. God does the same thing, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, with Israel, that how he led them in the wilderness to humble them and to prove them to know what was in their heart. And I think of Peter in the New Testament. Peter is so confident that he, above all Christ's other disciples, will always be faithful to Christ. In Mark 14, 29, Peter says to Jesus, "Even though all may fall away, yet I will not." And the Lord used what then happens in Peter's life, Peter's disastrous denial of the Lord that he really truly loves, Jesus uses that to expose Peter's self-confidence. And later on, by the shores of Galilee, when Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than these? He's probably referring to the other disciples. Peter, do you really love me more than these other disciples do? And Peter has a hard time affirming the Lord in that question, the exact terms that Jesus uses. So how does this relate to finishing well? We need to allow the Lord to use the circumstances in our lives in order to make us. That whether it's success or whether it's maybe seeming failure, we need to allow God to expose our idols and to reveal our wicked, deceitful hearts and to make us. This is what God is wanting to do. He's wanting there to be many, many brethren who look like his son. He is not just looking for big bank accounts or overflowing pews or large church buildings or innovative programs. He's looking for genuine conformity to his son, not just in the people to whom we are ministering, but in our lives individually. And by helping us in ways that expose our hearts' idols, God is blessing us. He's blessing us by enabling greater Christ-likeness. Responding to such exposure with repentance will go a long way toward helping us finish well. So I hope today's meditation from Uzziah at 2 Chronicles 26, I hope this will be a help to us, an encouragement, and be used of the Lord to help us all to finish well. Thank you so much. Trust you'll have a great day in the Lord.